Hello, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse Live. Today we are continuing our verse by verse study through the Gospel of John, and today we are in John chapter 11, so we are starting out with a brand new verse here today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Good. Brand new chapter 2.
Yep.
And a brand new verse.
Oh, did I say brand new verse?
Yeah, you said brand new verse.
Okay. Well, yep, unless we're only going through half a verse at a time every week, we usually do start in a brand new verse. But that's what I meant to say, a brand new chapter here today, and that is the Gospel of John, chapter 11. So if you want to turn your Bibles there, you could do that, and you want to start us off with a prayer.
Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And Father, we pray for everybody who listens. We pray that you would draw people who are hungry for your word to this ministry of Scripture Verse by Verse Live, and that people would be edified and discipled by the power of your Holy Spirit and your sufficient word, and that above all, Jesus would be glorified. So help us to do that this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, let's begin our reading in John chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "Now a man was sick, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha." Now, I don't want to read too much into this. I don't think I am, but I like how God calls Bethany the village or the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It just makes me think about how the presence of Christians is the thing that makes an area important to God. You know, most people would say that Wisconsin is Badgerland or Packerland, the home of the Badgers, the home of the Packers, or think of Wisconsin, it's the home of good cheese, or maybe some famous citizen. You know, Scott Walker is the governor of Wisconsin, you know, but. You know, but God, I think, would probably say Wisconsin is the home of, and then you can take your pick of any Christian who lives here. That's how important God's people are to him.
Yeah, and in addition to that, too, you can also see how God notices his people, and he knows details about them. He knows where you live. He knows how you are. And I think that kind of goes back to what we talked about last week when Jesus gave the parable of him being the shepherd and we being the sheep, and you know, the two know each other, and you know, God knows everything about you, as you just said, and what's important to him is you if you're a Christian.
Yeah, in verse 2 it says, "This was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." You know, this Gospel of John was written decades after Mary anointed Jesus with that oil, and possibly 60 years after that oil was anointed by Mary, or Jesus was anointed with that oil by Mary. 60 years possibly, but for sure decades. But clearly her devotion is still fresh in God's mind. And because he mentions it right here. And it's a reminder that genuine acts of affection from God, I should say to God, from Christians, stay fresh in his mind. I think sometimes maybe we get the feeling that God doesn't notice these things, but he does, and he doesn't forget them either.
Yeah, definitely the things that you do for God do not go unnoticed, and that's a good reminder of that. And the other thing I think of here, too, is that Mary did a good deed for Jesus, as we were talking about, and she came to Jesus and got forgiveness. And likewise, others in her family followed as well, including her brother Lazarus. It was a family affair for them. Something that they all had in common was Jesus. And so I just say, you know, you never know who you're going to affect because of your walk with Christ. Not only, to your point, did this get remembered by God, what Mary did, but it also brings Lazarus into the fold, and he had a special relationship with Jesus as well.
Yeah, he certainly did. We can see that in verse 3. So the sisters sent word to him, to Jesus, saying, Lord, he whom you love is sick. That's kind of a neat title for someone, isn't it? He who the Lord loves. I mean, to be able to say that to Jesus about someone. Hey, Jesus, he who you love is sick. And that's how he felt about Lazarus. And the ladies, the sisters, send this message to Jesus. And in essence, the message is, Lord, we have a problem. And we thought that you would like to know about it. And it's the one you love is sick. And that was their message to Christ. And they know Jesus. And they trust him to do whatever needs to be done. They're not sure what that will be, but they trust him. They don't say anything else. They don't make any other requests. It's just, Lord, the one who you love is sick. And they just hand the ball off to Jesus without even getting into any details. That's how much they trust him.
Yeah, that's a great point. They didn't specifically at this point ask for him to come heal Lazarus. They were just making him aware of it and wanted to tell him, even though Jesus was not there with them, they still reached out to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, obviously you can't see Jesus here physically with you today, but you should still reach out to him as well. They have a good example to follow here. And that is when you have a problem or when you have an issue that arises in your life. And for these women, it was their brother being sick. But when you have an issue in your life, tell Jesus about it, talk to him about it. And even if you don't know what to ask him or what to say to him, or even if you don't want to ask anything of him or say anything to him, just tell him the situation that you're in. And he knows your heart. I mean, and we're going to see a little bit later on in this chapter that even though they didn't ask him for anything specific at this point, they had it in their mind that they wanted Jesus to heal them. Because they remember when Jesus showed up, they said, if you would have been here earlier, brother would not have died.
Right.
Meaning that, Well, we assumed you were going to heal him.
Yeah.
But at any rate, it's good to tell Jesus what's on your mind.
Right. And trust him. Verse 4.
Yeah, trust him to make the next move.
Yeah, not that there's anything wrong with being specific either, because the Bible does say you have not because you ask not, but it's neat to have such a relationship with Jesus and to know him so well that, you can tell him what your situation is and just trust him to take the ball and run with it.
Yeah, and sometimes, especially if you have bad things going on in your life, you may not be in a right frame of mind to be asking for the right thing. So you just tell him, and he knows what's on your mind as well. And what my point was before is, even though the sisters didn't ask Jesus for their healing, that is what they wanted. And Jesus knew that's what they wanted, even without asking, because as we're going to see in a few verses, he ends up going there as well to heal him or to raise him from the dead.
Yeah. And, just getting back to that, it's neat because, I think you and I have that with each other, that you all you would have to do is tell me what's on your mind, or if something is bothering you or whatever, and I go to work and try to do what I can to fix it, and you do the same thing for me. I know you do. Even if we don't request anything, we kind of know each other well enough, and we would do whatever we could in a given situation. And that's a neat thing to have, between people, but it's infinitely better to have with Jesus, since he just happens to be the all-powerful God. So that helps the cause. And that's the kind of God you have too. That's what people need to remember. Verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And I want to read verse 6 along with that.
You got to read verse 4 yet.
Oh, did I miss that?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that.
Verse 4.
When Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Oh, yeah, thanks. But for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now, Jesus did not say that Lazarus wouldn't die. Now, look at his words carefully. He didn't say that he would not die. He was saying that death would not be the final outcome of this sickness. It's not unto death. It wouldn't be the final outcome. The final outcome of his sickness is not going to be death. It's going to be people marveling over the power of Christ who will raise him from the dead. So you got to be very careful when you look at the Word of God, you know, and don't assume that it's saying something when it's not saying something.
Yeah, and the whole story that we're going to see here with Lazarus has one purpose, and that's to bring glory to God, and someone walking with God would have no problem with that. Lazarus should have no problem with that. His sister should have no problem with that. You and I should have no problem with that in our own lives. If we're going through a trial or a problem and it brings about glory to God, then the trial is or was well worth it, because God is being glorified. There's a good light being shed on God, and people are taking notice of him.
That's right. Verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now watch this. On the heels of what the Bible says there, it says, so when he heard that he was sick, he remained where he was 2 more days. Now, Jesus loved and Jesus remained where he was do not seem to be compatible. Do they? To you? I mean, at just that first glance, I mean, looking at it from a worldly perspective.
No, not from a worldly perspective.
No, no. To us, it doesn't seem right. To us, what would seem right in the minds of most people was Jesus loved Lazarus and Martha and Mary. So he took off right away. You know, he ran as fast as he could, and he didn't stop to get over by him and to help him. That's because our ways are not always God's ways. God sees the big picture. You know, we see the now. We just see a little snapshot. You know, he sees the whole movie. And, yeah, he loved those three people. God loves us all the time. But God is God. That's something to remember. He loves us all the time. But God is God, and his eternal purposes are the center of this universe. Not necessarily our lives, not necessarily our comfort. His eternal purposes are the center of this universe. It's important to remember, beneath the surface of every problem in your life, God has a purpose.
Yeah, and sometimes people ask God for things and he doesn't respond right away or the way that we think he should, but that doesn't mean that he still loves us. So you take what you said, and everything you said is true, but looking at it from a little bit of a different angle as well, Jesus heard he was sick and remained where he was, but that didn't mean that he didn't love them. The Bible gives us a reminder in verse 5 that he did love them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Verse 7. Verse 7 says, here we go. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you. Are you going there again? So the apostles are nervous about returning to Judea, which is the southern part of Israel, because Jesus is a wanted man there. Now he's talking about going back there.
And it made the disciples nervous, but you know, it's not a good idea to correct Jesus. It's not a good idea to correct God. If you have to do that, or you feel you have to do that, then you should know just by default that you're in the wrong, because God never needs to be corrected. So if you ever are thinking that God doesn't know what he's doing, or you know, well, you know, we better set Jesus straight here, we better set God straight here, well, if you're trying to do that, well, then you are not correct.
Yeah, that's a good principle to hang on to. And then verse 9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks during the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. So our Lord's answer to their concern, remember what their concern was, we can't go down there, Lord, because you're a wanted man. And his answer is, there's only 12 hours in a day. In other words, sometimes we have to enter danger zones to do God's will, because our time here is so limited. You know, if we only do what we should do or what is fruitful in the eyes of God when there's no risk involved or when there's no discomfort involved, then we're not going to do a whole lot. Sometimes you do have to enter danger zones. You know, you just can't take the nice, comfortable way all the time. You got to follow the leading of God and the Word of God. That's the important thing.
Yeah, you can't pick and choose when you can follow Jesus.
No.
You can't choose him when, you know, to do what he wants you to do when everything is a nice paved roadway for you. Sometimes you have to go off-road and through a swamp and whatever else, very uncomfortable situations. And Jesus did that quite often. One of the best examples, maybe the best example of it, is when he was in the garden on Holy Thursday. And
yeah,
you know, he could have left. He could have left and he could have gotten away, but he chose to stay there. He took the hard road, which sometimes is the only road to take, and in that case it was.
Always good to remember Jesus in the garden when he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." He's willing to go through a nightmare.
Yeah, and some people want you to believe that when you are a Christian, everything is always going to be easy and you're always going to be able to take the easy road, but that's very far from the truth.
Brings in a lot of money, though.
Yeah, because people want to be comfortable.
Because people want to hear that. Verse 10, "But if anyone walks during the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." And walking in night speaks of not living for Christ, not living the Word of God. And a person like that is a person who does things his own way instead of God's way. And consequently, as a result, he stumbles around because he doesn't walk in the light of God's Word, and that's never good. Verse 11, "After he said this, he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going that I may awaken him from sleep.'" I think the disciples must really be confused now. Jesus is going to take us into a danger zone to wake someone up who is simply taking a nap.
Yep.
You know, I wonder what they're thinking. They got to be, this is one of those times, one of those many times when you can just see the 12 disciples scratching their heads, you know, sort of like when something goes wrong and they give that shot of Mike McCarthy on the sidelines.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, what in the world is going on here?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, but it's interesting to see that the term that Jesus uses for Lazarus being dead is that he says he's sleeping, because, you know, Jesus is thinking in terms of eternal things, which is what we're supposed to do as well. But his disciples, as you say, are thinking in terms of physical, earthly things, such as taking a nap. But Jesus doesn't see death that way. Jesus sees death as, his disciples see death as being an end. Jesus sees death as sleeping, you know, from a physical, worldly perspective, but much more than that in an eternal perspective.
And I should mention this too. Whenever the New Testament talks about the sleep of death, and it does often talk about death for Christians as being sleeping, and whenever it talks about the sleep of death, it's always just referring to the body, not the soul. The soul does not go to sleep. There are some who teach that, but that's not what Scripture teaches. So, moving on, verse 12. "Then his disciples said, 'Lord, if he is sleeping, he will be well.'" In other words, if physical sleep is his only problem, then we don't have to go back there and risk our lives to wake him up, Lord. That's what they're thinking.
Yeah, they're they're basically thinking everything in just human terms, which I guess is understandable here. They're saying, well, you know, if he's sleeping, if he's taking a nap, I mean, that's a good thing. That makes people better. And you know, he's sleeping, and Mary and Martha maybe made him some chicken soup, and you know, then it'll all be better. But that's the way that they're thinking, is, you know, if he's sleeping, then he's gonna get better, because people get better when they sleep.
And as you're talking about that, I was just thinking, how many times have we seen that in the Gospel of John with people where, I mean, where Jesus is talking spiritual, and they're thinking physical, and so they get confused because they don't realize what he's saying. I mean, it happened with Nicodemus when he said, you got to be born again. What? How are you going to get in the womb again and be born again? The woman at the well, give me some of that water, Lord, so I never have to come back here and drink or fetch water anymore. I mean, the disciples, several occasions, it just, even the religious rulers, you know, just on different wavelengths, different frequencies completely.
But Jesus, that doesn't stop Jesus, though, even though they didn't, you know, Jesus could have, after the people didn't understand, could have just said, well, you know what, you're not worthy to know, so forget it, I'm just keeping this to myself. But he ended up revealing it to them. You know, he explained it to Nicodemus, he explained it to that woman, he will explain it here to his disciples.
Yeah. Notice verse 13, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of getting rest through sleep. And you know what? Death for Christians is like an extended nap for their body. Our body sleeps until Jesus wakes it up. And he is going to be the one who wakes it up. Jesus has a wake-up call for each and every Christian, for every person in the world. But we're going to hear his voice, and our bodies are going to come out of the graves. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible teaches.
And it is a rest. When you die, you no longer have to worry about your physical condition. I mean, if you're saved and you go to heaven, which you will if you're saved, but, you know, when you die, you don't have to worry about your physical problems. You don't have to worry about your financial problems, your relationship problems. All that is put off to the side, and you're in heaven. I mean, that's very reassuring. That's very, you know, it makes you not fear death so much. I mean, because it is actually a good thing. It just like sleeping is a good thing for somebody who's sick, death is a good thing for a Christian.
Yeah. That's good comparison. Verse 14. So then Jesus plainly told them, Lazarus is dead. And you're going to see that none of the apostles said, well, how do you know he's dead? You're not even there. That's kind of a bold thing to say. Lazarus is dead. Well, you're 2 days' journey away. Or you're a day's journey away. You're a long ways away from him. But they didn't question him. You know, he spoke with authority, and they know him well enough now. They didn't doubt his word.
Yeah.
They didn't say, how'd you know?
Right. And here's what I was talking about also, where, you know, I said that even though they didn't understand the spiritual things that he was talking about, it didn't stop him from further explaining it to them in terms that they could understand.
Yeah. Verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. You ever wonder why he said, I was glad that I was not there for your sakes? You think about that at all?
Not really.
Well, I think the answer may lie in this. If you search the Bible, you will see that no one ever died in the presence of Jesus. It's never recorded where anyone ever died in the presence of Jesus. He raised several people from the dead, but no one ever died in the presence of Jesus. And so maybe that's why he was glad that he had not been with Lazarus. If he had been there, I don't know, Lazarus probably would not have died. Jesus, don't you think Jesus would have healed him if he was there? He healed everybody who came to him. He certainly would have healed Lazarus.
But yeah, and And the disciples, knowing that no one ever died with Jesus, should give them confidence, not just while Jesus is with them, but also after he is after he dies and, you know, comes back on Easter Sunday and appears to them and, you know, and then ascends into heaven, that he's never gone, should give them comfort. You know what I mean?
Should, yeah.
And nothing will happen without his say-so.
But if he doesn't die, Jesus doesn't raise him. Talking about Lazarus, and if
so, Jesus still had it worked out that he wouldn't be there.
Oh yeah, so yeah, sure. Because if he doesn't raise someone who's been dead for 4 days, the apostles' faith isn't going to be strengthened like it was.
Right, and others would not have believed as much as they did, or as many as believed.
Right,
we'll see as a result of it either.
In verse 16, gotta love this. Then Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go also that we may die with him." So Thomas, if you know anything about Thomas, you know, he doesn't say a whole lot, but it seems like every time he says something and it's recorded in scripture, it's pessimistic. And he was full of pessimism and gloom. And he is just absolutely sure that Jesus will be killed and they will be too if they go with him. But he not only believes that Jesus is going to be killed, and he's not only sure of that, he's sure that he's going to be killed. And his friends, the apostles.
And his response is still, let's go with him.
That's the wonderful thing about his devotion to Jesus, is that he was willing to go with him anyway.
Yeah, that's very powerful. That, I mean, and people, you know, what I mean, when you look at it, it's hard not to see that verse 16 and say, well, Thomas was not, you know, very positive person, which personally I don't care about one way or the other, but
no, I don't either.
But it's easy to look at that and say, well, boy, he sure is being a downer. Let us go also that we may die with him. But when you think about what he's saying, what he really believes, like you said, he really truly believes that if he goes with Jesus, he's going to die. But what does he say? He still says, let us go also. Yeah. And he was encouraging Jesus' other disciples to go as well. It wasn't just going to be him. He's saying, you guys come along too.
Yeah. So,
and let's be there for him and let's be there with him. Why do we want to stick around if he's not going to be here with us?
Yeah.
I mean, all that is packed into that verse.
It is. Yeah. You could talk on that verse for a long time. He actually thought he was walking into a death trap, sure death, but no, he was willing to follow Jesus there. And I suppose it's best not to be pessimistic, but look, that's like you said, I don't care if he was pessimistic or not. I mean, some people are pessimistic, some people are not. It takes all kinds. And God makes us all unique.
And Thomas thought he was living in reality.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just how he saw things. And I suppose for our own happiness sake, it's best not to be pessimistic. But the important thing is to be loyal to Jesus no matter how we feel. That's the really important thing. And that's, you can learn a pretty good lesson from Thomas, can't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's a little bit different than his situation where he doubted Jesus. I mean, Jesus never said here, you know, when Jesus was raised from dead, people told him, well, Thomas, or, you know, we've seen Jesus, and he's, well, I don't believe it. You know, this is different than that. Jesus never said that if we go here, we won't die.
Right.
They remember his disciples said, well, you know, why do you want to go back there? They were just trying to kill you there, and you're wanted there. Why do you want to go back? Jesus never said, well, we won't die if we go. Don't worry, guys.
Yeah, he never did.
So Thomas didn't know. Jesus never corrected that.
That's true.
So they didn't know. They didn't. I want to thank you for listening to our live broadcast here today. Want to remind you, if you want to send us your financial support, which is always greatly appreciated, you can write us, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin 54402. Again, that's Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin 54402. You can also go to the Scripture Verse by Verse website. It's thebibleversebyverse.com. That is thebibleversebyverse.com. If you want to send financial support, there's a donate button right on the homepage of thebibleversebyverse.com. Also, we appreciate and are in much need of your prayers as well for the support of this ministry. Please pray pray for us. And if you want to contact us as well, you can do that. You can write us verse by verse at live.com, verse by verse at live.com. Also give us a call, 715-845-8298. That's going to do it for this week's broadcast, and we will be back with you next week for more live scripture verse by verse.